Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
All right. Good evening, everyone. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This South Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net controls actually this evening are myself, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and Gary, KC2RMO. My location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where the temperature is still about 86 degrees with a high of about 91, but a very beautiful evening. And Gary is in Syracuse, New York, and I'm sure he'll tell us his weather. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, either this week or last week or maybe upcoming, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy birthday? Hearing no birthday stations, I guess I'll continue. You know, everyone, this is what we call the TIN Open Forum. It's our Thursday informational net open forum, which we do once a month, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Do want to advise all stations connected this evening that this net is recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, and all stations participating will be part of that recording. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight our program will be on ham radio trivia, and we hope that you'll join in and have lots of fun. You know, the questions from our moderators, which is Gary and myself, will be handled in groups of three, and the moderators will change back and forth after each grouping. So with that, I'm going to turn it to my partner tonight, KC2RMO. Hopefully, Gary, I won't lose my voice. It sounds a little crackly. Must be all those children I've been talking to. So let me throw it over to you, KC2RMO, and you can begin this evening.
I'm here. kind of locked up there for a minute, but we're okay. We're there. Thank you, Kath. And I guess, you know, when you're talking to all those kids, you know, you're gonna put a little wear and tear on the vocal cords, that's for sure. So I hope you can stay with us throughout the net tonight. We have 75 degrees now in Syracuse's beautiful Outer Comstock section. We are under some really threatening skies. They're talking about some heavy-duty rain a little bit later on tonight, and I expect we're going to be seeing that too. So they have flash flood watches up and all kinds of crazy stuff. We may actually have some guests tonight on this end of things, so I don't know. We can coerce Dan and Amy to coming in here, and you may actually hear them in the background. We're gonna see if they can join us. So we're doing ham radio trivia tonight, and this should be a lot of fun. And we'll start it out. My first group of three, and the first question is: which of the monsters? Remember the Munsters TV show. Which of the Munsters sometimes operated a ham radio? We'll throw it out for any answers. So we'll take it right now. This is the TIN on South Cars.
Too easy, GYF.
Okay, looks like GYF wants to take a stab at it, so go right ahead, sir.
There can be no doubt. Herman Munster, Fred Gwynn, KA0GYF. I wonder what his call sign was. That would be a... I wonder what he used as a call sign. That's part two. KA0GYF, over.
I actually have both his call signs and a copy of his QSL card, too. Herman actually used, believe it or not, two call signs. He had a crazy-looking rig. Remember how that rig looked? It was all these bizarre-looking tubes and strange electrical devices, and he used the two call signs, W2XRL4, or W6XRL4, so he went coast to coast, I guess. but yeah, it was Herman, all right, that's for sure. I think, occasionally Grandpa would be sitting around there. I don't know if he ever actually got on the air with the thing, but he would be seen near the ham radio station. Let me buy a nickel, and we'll do another question. We are back. We are on question number two as we do our ham radio trivia tonight on the TIN. And question number two reads, which late-night TV show host sponsored a contest between two hams? It was K7JA and K6CTW using Morse code and two text messaging champs. Okay, so they had a couple of guys on cell phones and a couple of guys on telegraph keys. And we want to know who hosted the show. And we'll throw it open for answers right now.
Six, Victor.
Hello there, sir. And great to hear your voice. Have you an answer for me?
I think so. Hi, Gary. Thanks for running the show tonight. Hello to Doug down there in Fort Myers. Glad he's with us. And hi, Kathy. It was Jay Leno. I'm pretty confident on that. I happened to see the program when he aired it. Being an old-time CW guy, I was just tickle pink that the text messages fellas got blown right out of the water. KY6V, go ahead, Gary.
Hey, thank you, Gordon. You know, I was watching that, too. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing because really there was no contest, as I recall. I mean, it wasn't even close. The two guys with the keys just blew them away. No two ways about it. And I think Jay was kind of impressed with it too. He kind of took him back. He didn't think that was possible. But so There's hope for those who are pounding the brass yet. You know, it's pretty good. But thank you, sir. And we'll move right along to question number three. And while we're on the question of, or on the topic, I guess, of hams with seen a lot of exposure, I guess that's the way to put it. And the question is, which famous ham radio operator was also the voiceover narrator of the old Untouchables television series? Okay, remember the Untouchables, Elliot Ness and the guys in Chicago there. There was a famous ham radio operator that introed the show. Who was he? Can you tell us something about it? Let's have an answer right now. Okay. Apparently, nobody remembers the Untouchables, but I do. I used to watch that show all the time. The guy that did the intro was Walter Winchell. Winchell opened his radio broadcast by pressing randomly on a telegraph key. He wasn't sending any code. He was just making noise, but he was a ham radio operator. That sound created a sense of urgency and importance in his catchphrase, "Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America, and all the ships at sea. Let's go to press." He would then read each of his stories with a staccato delivery at an average rate of 197 words a minute, noticeably faster than the typical pace of American speech. And if you ever heard him, actually do a newscast, it's quite remarkable. So it was Walter Winchell, though, that did that. And he had that kind of a voice that sounded like this. It was like this sort of a thing. So those are my three. Let's move it right along and bring on K6SUN. Kathy, how about the next set of...
All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'll try to be funny. But let's hope that your company, as well as your wife, will jump in here. And if it's just a guess or just to have some fun. But everyone else is rather quiet out there, and I'm not sure how long that voice will last, Gary. I'll explain to you why here. I told you about the computers being down. So today I was given a laptop cart where my children were going to work on the laptops. They were having problems connecting with that. It was Wi-Fi. And so we decided one of the rooms was able to connect. So we took all of our children, the two teachers, into that room. There was 22 of us. And so connected to this room is a bathroom. And this bathroom connects to my room. So as they were going in to use the bathroom, they would head through my room and come back around through the center pod, which they're not supposed to. Let me drop for a minute, and I'll tell you exactly, Gary and everyone else, what happened today. So what happened was, all of a sudden, and close to lunchtime, knock on my door from my principal saying, Mrs. Smith, one of your students walked through your empty classroom and hit the buzzer. And you know that if they hit the buzzer, that is against the rules. It's also tampering with equipment. If I look at the cameras, they will be suspended. So it was a little bit of talk to us and a lot to the children. And you can only imagine, Gary, what I did after that, after they got back from lunch. That's why I cannot talk at this moment. Okay, let me go in into the question. My question is the last one in a series of special people. And I know someone out here that probably knows this answer. Who held the call sign Kilo Bravo 2 Golf Sierra Delta since reissued? Again, KB2GSD. Who held that call sign? We have any guesses, or someone know that correct answer?
Six, Victor.
And RMO with a quick comment. I used to get suspended for better stuff than that. Back to you.
Well, before I call on Six Victor, and this has to do with a response he gave to me when I said that it was, I think he said it's something he and some of his friends would do, but it's not allowed. If they tamper with that, it's major problems. We have two deputies on campus, and it could have caused major problems. So, you know, I had my little conversation. That's why my voice sounds the way it does, and hopefully it won't happen again. So let me call on you, Six Victor, and I know you know this answer because I know you know this person or knew this person. So what's your answer here?
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. And Gary, you're right. I would have pulled a stunt like that, or one of my friends would have. You know, now they have it classified as tampering with school property, and I don't know if it's listed as a felony or just what, but boy, I'll tell you what, they make it rough. Kathy, the answer you're looking for is Walter Cronkite, our beloved newsman from CBS. I knew Walter personally, quite a guy in many respects. You know, I retired from CBS with 50 years in the business, and I ran into Walter quite often. So that's it. KB2GSD was Mr. Cronkite in person. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, you know, Gordon, I knew you would know the answer because I've heard you talk many times about the relationship you had. So I'm glad you came back aboard and came up with the correct answer. Actually, everyone, the legendary CBS newsman Walter Cronkite, that call sign, he held the title of the most trusted man in America. He was elbowed by Steve Mendel's Hahn, I believe, W2ML, Cronkite's radio engineer at CBS for many, many years. They would practice code and tech questions between broadcasts, and his first QSO was on 10 meters, about 28.390 megahertz. So that ends our question as far as those special people. We're now going to go into something that everyone out there should know. And these are not slang, but trivia. It relates to ham radio. And I'll start with the very first one. I'll pause for just a moment here, and then I'll come out. And, well, I don't need to pause. It's a slashed zero. And actually, I want you to tell me what it means.
November X-ray, India.
Well, good evening, Mike. Glad to have you here. Hope all is well up there in the great state of Maine. And actually, Gordon, when he came on, he didn't tell everyone about that thing that's out there in the Atlantic, but we're hoping it doesn't head our direction. I believe it's Danny is the name. Do you have an answer for me, Mike?
Well, I think so, Kathy. This is WA1NXI. I believe it means zero, and the reason for the slash is so you can tell the difference between an O and a zero. That's my guess, anyway. Back to net.
You are correct, Mike. And, you know, often we see at times the same with a seven. They'll put a line through the seven. I'm not sure what the reason there is. Usually on a keyboard, or even when you see it in print, a zero is sort of skinnier than the O, but you are absolutely correct. It distinguishes a zero from the letter O, and it's intended to resolve ambiguity in the call signs like W0OF. So you were absolutely correct, and thank you for sharing that with us. So here's my last one, and I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to give you what it means, and I want you to tell me what, I guess, the sign, or the, it's actually a number, but it's best regards. Tell me what the numbers are. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, along with KC2RMO, doing AM trivia. Anyone have an answer for that? And I'm sure everyone knows it, so please come aboard.
GYF.
Well, Gary and Doug and Mike and Gordon, it looks like we have one at a time coming aboard. So, Mr. Doug, hope all is well in Fort Myers. Hope all is well going with that demolition and that the kiddies are doing well. Thanks for being here tonight. So, tell me what the number is for best regards.
Kathy, you got to be talking about 73s. And that sure is basic. This is a nice basic debt. These are easy questions. Hey, I got a beef with the state of Florida and my license plate. When I arrived here 30 years ago, I was already amateur radio operator, and I got me my slash zero license plate. And then about 10 years ago, they quit issuing slash zero. So Florida is still very confused with their zeros and their O's on the amateur radio license plates. But there aren't too many zeros in the state of Florida. And that's why they call it Florida. Okay, 025. Was I right on 73? Over.
Well, Mr. KA0GYF, you actually knew you were right. Yes, it is 73. I always think everyone says 73 is in the text box when we're doing a net. They say 73. But, you know, Slav, I always get a special treat out of Slav because he usually, in everything he sends me, Doug, he'll send 73 and 88. So, and possibly 88 is one of those questions. I haven't heard about your trip to Marathon. I hope that you'll be able to share that with me by email or later. I got some of the pictures, but just curious if you had a grand old time down there. Can I throw it back to you, Doug, and just let me know how that trip turned out for you?
Absolutely fabulous trip. An extra night thrown in. Three nights. I didn't even have to drive. Neighbor gal drove me. One of my gal pals. That's what Marilyn says in the background. I got to eat lunch today at Costco. You know, I splurged. and treated a couple of my gal pals to lunch at Costco. We all opted for cheese and pizza. I forget the question. Marathon, grand time, big boat ride, little boat ride. Total immersion in dogs. They have dogs on board. We have cats, you know. Those dogs, they're fun. They climb up in my mid-cabin berth. And they're a lot of fun. And fun was had by all. And thanks for asking, Kathy. That was my first vacation since my three-night vacation up on the Withlahoochee River when I saw you last in Orlando. KU0GYF, over.
Oh, thank you so much, Doug, for sharing that. I've been curious. Gordon and I haven't taken much of a vacation. This summer was different, so we haven't headed much anywhere. So, but it was a nice summer, nice weather, and it's still fairly nice. But I was curious how things were going. You know, when I come home from work, that little black thing that I have that's got four legs sure doesn't give me time to rest and relax. So thank you, Doug, for being here, and thank you for everything that you do for South Cars, and thank you for participating this evening. And actually, Gary, that is my last question. I'm going to turn it over to you. You got to get that company to come aboard and just take guesses at what we're talking about. KC2RMO from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, I'm gonna run out between sets there and see if I can convince them to come on into the shack. I think they're listening. I can hear laughter out there. They're talking to Steph, so I think they can hear what's going on in here too. So, but let's get them on site and see if we can get them to do a little talking. But we've got three more to go here, so let's see what we've got. This one, Doug was saying, you know, these are some easy questions. Next one may not be so easy. So do a little thinking about this one, okay? The question is, what is an 807? What's an 807? We'll take any answers you might have right
now. November X-ray India with a long shot guess.
And 6, Victor.
And GYF.
All right, we've got Mike, we've got Gordon, and we've got Doug, and let's kick things off. Go back up to the great state of Maine, and hello there, Mike. Great to hear you.
Well, good evening, and good evening to everybody aboard. This is WA1NXI again, and my guess, I've heard this before, and I'm not really sure if I remember it right, but I think it means a beer. I don't know. I'll throw it back to that and let the other two stations jump in.
Okay, Mike. I'm going to just give you one little comment here. You could be right, but there may be more to it, too. So let's see if Gordon can give us the answer. Gordon, come on aboard.
Yeah, thanks, Gary, and good evening to you up there, Mike. Glad to have you with us. Kathy asked me to touch real quickly on this hurricane out in the Atlantic. Gary, before we proceed, name is Danny, as she mentioned. It's way out. It's at 13 north and 45.7 west. But that baby's up to 80 miles an hour already, is already a hurricane, and is sprouting about 990 millibars. It's headed in towards Puerto Rico. There's an awful lot of challenges that it's going to have to meet. The reason that it's up so high is it got involved with a Kevin wind situation, which helped it ramp up very rapidly. It's a small hurricane, incidentally. But it's got desert sand from Africa in the airs to fight. It's got El Nino to fight. It's got some high lofty winds to fight. So it's anybody's guess how this baby's going to turn out. Let me buy a nickel. An 807 was a very popular vacuum tube for RF transmitters when I was a kid. My first transmitter was an 807 in the final. It was a 25-watt homebrew transmitter that I made in 1949, to be exact. It is also referred to the hams, and you're correct, Mike, as a cold beer. You'll hear somebody say, I am going to go get a cold 807 because it's a hot day outside, or something of that nature. I will add a little bit to that, one more nickel here. Then followed by an 813. An 813 was a more rugged and higher powered transmitter tube. And it was referred to as hard liquor. Could be bourbon, could be scotch, could be vodka, could be gin, you name it. Back to you, Gary, KY6V.
Hey, thank you, Gordon. Well, you know, you're right. You can't go wrong with any of it, right? But let's see what Doug's take is on this. Let's go to GYF.
Excuse me, if Gordon, I don't recall that Gordon actually said that this vacuum tube, the shape of it was so shapular that it resembled a beer bottle, and that's why it got. The 807 became synonymous with the beer, because the tube had a rather shapely outline. And pardon me if he said that. Now, my late brother passed away 2 weeks ago. The WA6LKK. He started the ham radio in my hamily, and he always brought over 807Ls. And that was the designation for the light beer. And that was when, you know, codes and ciphers, you know, that was, used to be a question on the test. We're not supposed to use codes and ciphers. Is that still a question on the test? I don't know. KY0GYF, over.
I don't know if that's still on the test or not, Doug. I am, please accept my condolences regarding your brother. I've lost a brother, too, and... I know how that goes. But you're right, and all three of you guys are actually right. An 807 is a glass vacuum tube, and actually a beam pentode, and it does kind of resemble a bottle of beer, all right? It's got that kind of long neck on it and high voltage cap on it. Also, it's a slang for beer, and there's nothing like a cold 807 on a hot Arizona afternoon. And in Ireland, a pint of Guinness is known as a black 807. So you guys were all right. That's 100% on that question. It's either a beam pentode or it's a bottle of beer. You take your choice. It works. We are doing ham radio trivia on the TIN tonight, and we've got another question right here. This should be fairly easy. Fairly easy, because we were talking about numbers and what they mean. So here's a number. It's not an Oldsmobile, all right? But what does 88 mean? We'll throw it out for answers.
November X-ray India.
Okay, we've got Mike, and no, it wasn't a Rocket 88, but Mike, what is
it? Well, Gary, I believe it's hugs and kisses. And I just wanted to mention, I don't know if anybody else is noticing, but sometimes it's like you drop off right before you finish what you're going to say. It's like you drop off right before you finish. I don't know, maybe it's just me. But anyway, hugs and kisses is my guess. WA1NXI, back to Matt.
Hey, thank you, Mike. We were having some issues with that a little earlier, and it seems like it's come and gone and come back again. So, but hopefully it'll resolve itself before we're through tonight. But you're absolutely right. 88 is hugs and or kisses. I guess you can use it either way. If you wanna throw them both together, that's fine too. But it's a warmer sentiment. Then 7-3. So as we've got our last in the group of three here, We'll throw it out to anybody who wants to answer. What is an antenna party? Okay, that should be a pretty easy one. But what is an antenna party? We're looking for answers right now on the TIN.
November X-ray India, unless somebody else wants to jump in and take a shot at it. I think I know what it is. I think I had one a couple weeks ago. Hi.
Well, Mike, I guess nobody's going for it, so I guess you're our man. What is an antenna party? And I need to have.
Well, my guess at this one is when you have a bunch of your friends come over and help you put up an antenna. Oh, Roger.
Yeah, that's exactly it. A long-standing tradition among hams where several gather together to assist a fellow ham in mounting antennas or maybe towers, often accompanied by malt consumables and swapping lines. And I do need to have one of these. I have a couple of antenna projects that I'd like to do, and it would be a lot easier not doing it by myself. That's for sure. So those are my three. So we'll go to the next segment now. We'll go to K6SUN and Kathy for the next three, please.
Comment, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Good heavens, there's George. George, hello there.
Yeah, I believe you dropped it, Gary. Kind of premature again there, my friend. But I'd like to remark on that antenna party. By the way, only the climber gets to have the party. The rest of the guys needs to pay attention to what's going on. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
That's the deal, huh, George? I think there's something going on with the buffering on this. It's cutting me off a little prematurely, so I'll give it like a two count before I click off. But did you have anything else that you wanted to throw in there other than the climber's king, right? So after, and everybody else kind of has to fall in line with that. Is that correct?
Well, Gary, climbing and sitting antennas, it can be a party within itself. What can I say? If you do it, just pay attention to what you're doing and enjoy it every step on the way. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to you there, and don't want to come in here and mess up your net there. But I just had to laugh over that one, my friend. I'm going to learn how to climb one of these days.
You think so? George, you couldn't mess up a net if you tried. It's great to hear you. It really is. So we've got another group of three, and we've got Kathy standing by. So K6SUN, take it away.
All right. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and good evening, George. It's been a long time. Glad you could drop in and say hi to us. Gary, yes, you're still dropping off. Maybe it's just that you hit that button too fast, so maybe just give it a pause. You just sort of drop off before you're finished probably talking. But I have a conversation in the background, and they need to just get a little nudge so they can come in and just merely guess to what we're going to talk about. I'm going to throw it out there and ask anyone anywhere, I like to go barefoot. Don't wear shoes, and I don't wear I wear sandals to school, but around the house I am barefoot. I just love going barefoot. But tell me in ham radio what barefoot means. And anyone want to take a stab at this one?
November X-ray India.
Hey, my Charlie Bravo.
All right, I have two that time. I have you, Mike, and I have you, George. And once again, thank both of you for coming aboard. I was afraid I was going to have to talk about going barefoot. So, Mike, what do you think barefoot means?
Well, Kathy, I think it means just using your rig with no amplifier, just running on the rig's power. That would be my guess. WA1 and XR.
All right, we'll wait and see what George has to say, but I still think it's going barefoot is not having shoes or socks on, you know, like George likes to do quite often, probably. Well, good evening, George. What is your response? What does barefoot mean, ham radio-wise? Not what I was talking about, but what in ham? What does barefoot mean in ham radio?
KW4, anyway, Charlie Bravo. Good evening to you, Kathy. Yeah, it's been a long time. Hi. Soon, I hope. What can I say? I guess it's just being connected, you know. It's basically all the same thing, you know. The way you come out barefooted, well, that's what it is. In the same way a radio comes out at the shop, you know, that means no extra additives, you know, you just straight up radio without all the extras there. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
RMO, just a quick comment on barefooted.
All right, Gary, I'm going to throw it to you, but one comment before I do is I've never heard the word connected, so I had to look over at Gordon so I could understand what George was saying, but go ahead, Gary.
I wonder if barefoot is a technique, you know, that some people like to take their shoes off when they're operating. Like, I have a technique that I use. When I'm trying to work DX and it's not going as well as I'd like it, I have a fez. I wear a fez, and it works. I'm telling you, it actually works. So there's a tip. If you're trying to work some DX and it's not going so well, grab a fez, and the next thing you know, you're going all over the place. Back to you.
Nice comments and nice answers. And actually, you're all correct. In ham radio, it refers to running your transmitter without an amplifier. In other words, the power out is being produced entirely by the transmitter without any assistance from an amplifier. But I do like the connected, and I like the barefoot in the park and the barefoot in the house. So let me go into the next one, and this is, tell me, what is birdie? You know, I've heard it when you play badminton, that's a birdie. I've heard it in golf, but in ham radio, can anyone give me a definition what a birdie is?
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
Well, hi, George, again. You tell me what birdie means. And actually, you know, I must admit, I have not heard it before, so I'm going to get some education here. Tell everyone what birdie means.
Well, Kathy, first thing that comes to mind is Gordon in the background. You know, something... It's in the background, it's acting up, maybe a chirp, you know, that you can put your finger on, and that anyone who's has an investigating soul, you know, will try to pinpoint what is causing it, you know, to, you know, what can I say, Mr. Audio, that would drive him nuts until he located it. KW4, Charlie Bravo.
Oh, you're absolutely correct, George. And, you know, I've been watching, we have, I don't know, how many machines? 1, 2, 3, I don't know, we have 9 total. I'm not sure how many here we have, but we've put Windows 10 on some of them, and you know, the one computer, when it came back, it was insane. And I've watched him work with that thing, and I thought, gosh, if that was me, I would give up. But the definition for birdie is a signal produced within a radio, typically by its microprocessor or related circuitry that appears at specific intervals across the tuning dial of a receiver. Usually it is a product of mixed intermediate frequencies within the radio, considered bad form. So thank you, George, for that correct answer. And thank you again, everyone, for being here. Now, this next one, everyone should know this, and it is a boat anchor. Now, I'm thinking of an anchor in a boat. George is a boater, and that's what I would think of. But tell me in ham radio what you think a boat anchor is.
RMO, something I just got.
All right, I saw you key up, Mike, so I'll call on you after Gary. Yeah, Gary, you got quite a gift, I believe, for an anniversary. I'm not sure if that's what you got. I can't remember. So what's your answer for what is a boat anchor?
Well, a boat anchor is an oldie but a goodie, usually a tube-powered piece of equipment, transmitter or transceiver or receiver. I was lucky enough to get a Heath Sixer. So I've got a Benton Harbor lunchbox that I'm going to be restoring in the next few weeks, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're starting there's a lot of interest in 6 meters here in Syracuse, and there's a lot of us that want to fool around with 6 meter AM as well. And even though we can do it with the rigs that we have, it's a lot more fun to do it on a boat anchor. Back to you.
All right, Gary, thanks for sharing that. I remember, I'm not sure, is that the picture you sent? I'm not sure. But is that the picture you sent? Is that what Stephanie got you for your anniversary?
Yep, that's it. That's called a Heath Sixer, or affectionately known as a Benton Harbor lunchbox. They had them as 10 meters, 6 meters, 2 meters, and they even had a CB version of it. But they were popular in the late 50s through the mid-60s.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. I still say a boat anchor, something you carry in your boat and you drop it in the water because you want to fish. But, Mike, what do you think a boat anchor is?
Well, my guess was different, Kathy. I was going to say that it was a radio or an old rig that didn't work anymore and was beyond repair, was my guess. But anyway, I don't think I would have been right on that one, but we'll find out. WAE1NXI, back to net.
Well, actually, the correct answer is slang for a large, heavy, usually old radio, typically restored. So it probably was dead at one time, and it's been restored. Gary sent to Gordon and I both a picture of what he got, and he said this was his anniversary present. So, you know, you were partially right. It probably died at one time. It's old, you know. The older things get, the more they don't work. But then it was restored. So thank you, gentlemen, for those answers, guesses, and for the conversation. But, Gary, the next ones are yours, and I'm not sure if you want to continue with these questions or move on further, and how long, because I know you have company, how long you want to stay with this tonight. If you want to do six more, you want to go into some other questions, I'll leave that up to you. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Gary, KC2RMO.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I'm good for about six more questions, and I need to get back to the folks here. But let's get through these because let's do some. We'll do three of the ham radio ones, and then I'm gonna kind of go to the general trivia questions for the last three. So let's see how we do. First one is what or who is a brass pounder? What does that mean? What's a brass pounder? We'll take. I have a feeling there might be a few listening right now, so we'll take any answers that are.
November X-ray India.
X-Ray India. We had you there, and it sounded like somebody on a RF station as well, but we'll have them try to come back in after we talk to you. So, Mike, go right ahead.
All righty, I'll answer it. Who is a brass pounder, and I'll say KY6B is a brass pounder.
Yeah, KY6B is definitely a brass pounder. You could take that one to the bank. There was an RF station in there. You want to try again? No, not getting through. You can definitely try again on some of the other questions. Brass pounder definitely is someone who sends telegraphy by the old-fashioned straight key method without any keyers or paddles or nothing. That's just you and your key, and that would be KY6V, who is an astounding CW operator. No two ways about that one. So you were absolutely right there, Mike. And we'll move it along to the next question, and it kind of bugs me because what is a bug? Is it an infestation in your equipment? I mean, what a bug? What is a bug? We'll take answers right now. Okay, I guess everybody was grabbing the can of Raid. Okay, a bug. A bug is a mechanical keying device for transmitting Morse code semi-automatically. One side does dots, the other side does dashes. And that in and of itself is a real skill. Some of these guys that can operate with a bug, it's just kind of mind-blowing to see how fast they go. It's anybody that can master either the straight key or a bug. It gets tip of the old KC2 RMO hat. Anyway, for our last of this set, okay, we have this should be familiar to anybody I'm not even going to tell you, but you may know this term. I think everybody that has picked up a handheld or operated VHF or UHF will be familiar with the initials CTCSS. CTCSS, what is it? No, okay. CTCSS, Continuous Tone Coded Squelch System, also known as PL. You know, you see the PL tones on your repeaters, right? That stands for Private Line. I didn't know that. Trademarked by Motorola. They actually trademarked that term. They coined the term and they trademarked it. Also known as call guard, if you're talking about GE equipment or sub-audible tone. It's a means of transmitting a tone along with your signal. This tone tells a receiver to open up its squelch so that the signal is received. So that makes it kind of a private line, doesn't it, between you and the repeater. And that's how that all works. And as you, there are different tones for different repeaters, you'll always see those listed. So if you wonder what that's all about, that's what it is. It's the CTCSS tone that makes it all happen on a repeater. Okay, another group of letters here, that little initials here that stand for something. And again, this is kind of more repeater oriented. DTMF. What is DTMF? Come on aboard with any answers that you might have.
6, Victor.
For DTMF, over.
November X-Ray India.
Okay, we got 3 that time, and we'll kick it off with 6. Victor, sir, what is DTM?
Yeah, okay, thanks, Gary. I'm sorry I missed the question on brass pounding. I was in the kitchen pouring another liquid beverage. But I wanted to say on the bug, too, that I have 2 bugs down here. One belonged to my father, and one was mine originally. And they are both as old as Methuselah. DTMF, dual tone, multiple frequency. Started off in the telephone business, actually, you know, when you got away from that dial and you went to the buttons. when you punched one button on that series of buttons, you were actually producing two tones. And it became very popular for other things too, which I'm sure that Mike and Doug will comment on. Gary, KY6V.
Okay, it kind of hung up again on me. But yes, sir. Let's see what we have for others to offer here. GYF, come on aboard and tell us what you know about DTMF.
Well, before DTMF, the telephone sounded like this. That's my rotary phone. So I got it all wired up. It works. I got a question for you, Gary. TV show featured a ham radio operator. The head of the household was a ham radio operator. And his guest in the home was an alien. What was the name of the TV show in which the head of the household, who hosted an alien, was a ham radio operator? K0GYF.
Well, I am pretty sure that the show was ALF. Was that? Am I right, Doug?
You got it, Super Gary. ALF. One of my Marilyn's favorite shows. And speaking of 73, she has South Car's number, E73, to her credit. She's still in the background. A lot like your sweetheart always is. Hey, Grand net tonight, real exciting. KA0GYF, you're absolutely right, Gary. Over.
You know, it's funny. You just remember those things. I haven't seen that in a long time, but I did remember that. It's all coming back. It really is. Thank you, Doug. NXI, Mike, what can you tell us about DTMF?
Well, I'm not really sure. I think you can set a tone in your radio so that if someone else doesn't have the same tone, it won't open, kind of like the repeater tone, but it's from rig to rig, so that you can have like a private conversation, I guess, without getting interrupted, and would be one of my guesses. And the reason I jumped in is when you was giving the answer about the bug, it froze up on me, and I had to leave and come back, and I never got the answer, and I wasn't sure what it was, so I was looking for a repeat on the bug answer.
Well, the answer for the bug, it's a mechanical device for transmitting Morse code semi-automatically. So it has the ability on one paddle to send dots, the other paddle sends dashes. So it's a semi-automatic system for that. But you guys were all right on DTMF. It's dual tone, multiple frequency. That's what it stands for. A tone that's actually comprised of two different tones sounded at the same time. It's what you hear when you use the push buttons on a standard non-pulse telephone, a touch-tone phone in the U.S. It's also a common way to send analog numeric information, since each numeral between 0 and 9 has its own separate tone, also the pound and the star, and in the case of some radios, A, B, C, and D. Now, another way to look at it, too, is if you were to look at the tones and frequencies as a matrix, okay? And you can see this on the internet. If you just Google DTMF, you'll see that it's actually a grid, and that how these all interrelate just to make the different characters. It's the easy peasy explanation of the thing. But you guys are all correct on that. So DTMF, you got it right. Okay, we got three more to go. Let's go to K6SUN, and Kathy, hello there, ma'am.
All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm going to skip over a few of these just because I found some of the other ones really interesting. So, first one I'm going to throw out there to anyone, anywhere, is eyeball. I know what it is in my head, but what does it mean in ham radio? Anyone, anywhere. If you know the answer, come aboard.
November X-ray India.
All right, Mike. It doesn't look like anyone else wants to jump in, and probably everyone knows this. So, in your opinion, what does eyeball mean?
All righty, Kathy, and I expected everybody to jump in on that one, too. It's when you meet up with another ham face-to-face, and you meet each other for the first, well, I don't know if it's the first, it doesn't have to be the first time, I guess, just a face-to-face meeting would be the simple answer.
Yeah, that was an easy one, Mike, and you're absolutely correct. It's a face-to-face meeting to speak to one another in person. And what I do almost every day with my children at school. So I thought that would be a neat one to throw out there. All right, let me throw that. This is a comment that you say all the time, Mike, so hopefully you'll jump in on this one. What do the letters FB mean?
November X-ray India. I hate to take them all, so I hope somebody else will jump in.
Six, Victor. I'll take the challenge.
All right. I just had to throw that one in there, Mike. I hear you say this all the time. And by the way, I think you're running the net. You're either a backup or running it, one or the other, this weekend. That's coming up. So I have two stations. I have you, Mike, and I have you, Six Victor. And you're going to tell me what the FB stands for. So, Mike, like I said, I hear you do it all the time, so I just had to throw that in. What does it mean?
I guess it's a way to say you understand or okay, it's fine business.
All right, before I give you the correct answer, let's see what Gordon has to say about this one.
Well, I was just going to add a little time for you. I would prefer it to mean free beer. But Mike is right. Go ahead, Kathy.
Oh, that's funny. Funny. It does mean fine business, and it's a cheerful acknowledgement or an adjective, you know, English teacher, for describing a good quality. So, but Mike, I hear you say that when you're running a nut, or even hear you on the radio, you say fine business all the time. So I thought that just had your name on it. All right, this is the last one in my series, and then I think Gary and I are just going to do a few questions. What does green stamp mean? You know, I'm thinking of green stamps. A long time ago, you used to be able to put those in a book. S&H green stamps. Take it to a store and you could get free merchandise. I don't even know if they have those anymore. But what do you think it means in ham radio? What does the green stamp mean?
Charlie Bravo.
All right, Mr. George. I'm waiting for this one out of you. What does green stamp mean?
Sometimes, Kathy, I'm afraid to answer just to as to what might come out. But, I knew a girl that used to have green stamps. But I think another, a lot of people might say shekels in their pocket or denatals. I think that those bills that we use to keep us safe at times, you know, the greenbacks. But I think there's a whole lot more that could get in there, you know, but I think it's our currency. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, you know, I think you're partially right. But, you know, I would say, okay, it's a U.S. dollar bill that's sent along with a QSL card to offset the postage cost of a return card. And so if anyone wants any further comments on that, I would say it's paying that person. You're sending a card to a person for a return card, and you're actually paying for the postage. But I don't know. Maybe someone else has any other comments about that. So before I throw it to Gary, is there any comments from anyone out there about what we've talked about this evening? Any questions or any further comments before I throw it over to Gary?
November X-ray India, just with a quick comment about the green stamp.
Well, go ahead, Mike.
All right, thank you, Kathy. I was just going to say that when you do send one out, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to get a card back. I've sent out quite a few free dollar bills and never got a return card. WA1NXI and great net tonight. Had a good time.
Nice comment, Mike, and well, we appreciate you being here and just joining in on some of the fun. We like to do the trivia every once in a while, and I think Gordon and I usually do it, and Gary's in the background, and I think it's been, last one we did was in October 2014, and we did that on, you know, history and some ham radio, and we thought it'd be nice if we just did this one on ham radio. So I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. So I'm going to throw it to you, Gary, and why don't you end with just three questions? And if you want, I'll close it out, or you can close it out, because I don't want to keep you from your company or anyone else that needs to be doing anything this evening. And who knows what I need to be doing to prepare for my class tomorrow. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Gary, KC2RMO, and let you complete our session this evening.
Okay, Kath, and thank you very much. It's been a great evening. I love doing these trivia nets. They're great, and it's always a pleasure working with you and the rest of you guys too. So it's awesome to hear some old voices. I haven't heard from Mike or George in the proverbial. So this is great, you know. And Doug's always great to hear from you too. So I've got the final three, and these are multiple choices. Okay, so we'll kick it off with this one. Who was the engineer that invented FM radio? Oh, before I go any further, Kath, you'll have to close it. I don't have a Paul Stamble. I'm on a different machine. So if you can get that ready, that'll be great. So here's the question again: who was the engineer that invented FM radio? Was it A, Philo Farnsworth, B, Edward Howard Armstrong, C, Ralph Hartley, or D, Edwin Colpitts? Now, these are names that you probably have heard, and you may or may not know which one is which. They're probably familiar names, but we want to know who invented FM. So we'll take your answers right now. Which one of the group is it?
Six, Victor.
Six, Victor. Who was the engineer that invented FM radio?
75 KC deviation 2. My money goes to Edward Howard Armstrong, sir.
Give that man a silver dollar. You're absolutely right. He invented the regenerative circuit when he was an undergrad, patented that in 1914, followed by the Super Regen in 1922 and the Super Heterodyne in 1918. Working in the basement laboratory of Columbia's Philosophy Hall, he invented wideband frequency modulation radio. Not bad. That's not a bad resume. So it was Armstrong. Armstrong is the guy that gave us FM. Okay, we're getting into another area here. We're moving beyond FM and the usual stuff that we talk about, and we're going to talk about outer space, okay? Voyager 2. Remember Voyager 2? It launched in 1977, took pictures of Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus. How long does it take for radio messages to control the probe to travel between Earth and the probe while taking pictures of Uranus? All right, so obviously we send a radio signal out to space to tell the probe what to do. And there's a time lag. So what is it? Is it A, 3 minutes, B, 3 hours, C, 3 days, or D, 3 weeks? Which one is it? We'll take answers right now on the TIN.
GYF has a guess.
Yeah, and six Victor has, I guess.
Okay, got a couple of brave souls there. We'll go to Doug right now. GYF, what's your guess?
Could I think I know what my guess is going to be. Could I hear the three answers again, please? I love multiple guesses. But please, the three answers again? I mean the four.
Okay, here you go. Here's your choice. A, 3 minutes. B, 3 hours. C, 3 days. Or D, 3 weeks. What's your guess?
Well, I remember when the last Mars rover landed, and I'm thinking that transmission time was 11 minutes. So Uranus is further, so I think 3 hours is my guess. Because I know it's more than 11, the 11 minutes around one way to Mars, over K0GYF.
All right, let's see if you're right. Let's hear what Six Victor has to say.
Yeah, I like the way you think, Doug. I was approaching it the same way. You know, 186,000 miles per second, 3 minutes sounds like it's just too short. 3 hours sounds normal. 3 days or 3 weeks to me would be too long. So I'm zeroing in on 3 hours also, Gary, over.
Boy, you guys are, I'm going to issue you the South Cars degree in orbital mechanics. you're absolutely right on for both of you. And radio waves travel at the speed of light. Light's fast, but it still takes time to travel. So just for an example, it takes 8 minutes for light to go from the sun to the earth. So you get an idea, right? And also gives you an idea how far Uranus is if it takes 3 hours for a radio wave to reach it. So that's a long, long way. And it's still in our own little measly solar system. Space is a really big place. But thank you, guys. And I've got my final question. Here's the final question for the night, okay? It may be easy, but it might get you guessing a little bit. All right, it's a term we use an awful lot, and but you might not know what it really stands for. What does GMT stand for? Is it A, General Military Time, B, Greenland Mean Time, C, Greenwich Mean Time, or D, General Maritime Time? All right. So A is General Military Time, B is Greenland Mean Time, C is Greenwich Mean Time, or D, General Maritime Time. Okay? And anybody have any idea what GMT stands for? We'll take the answers right now.
Awful quiet. Six Victor.
And GYF.
Well, I'll tell you, If you got to have two guys to be the last guys, then you're the two guys I want. Six Victor, go right ahead.
Well, thank you for those nice words, Gary. KY6V here. I don't think I've been using my call here tonight. I'm going for Greenwich Mean Time. And I want to throw in that I was just reading an article. It was either yesterday or the day before. That the observatory over there says that the first meridian has moved. And I said, oh, really? So I read the whole article. It moved all of a couple of feet. And it's all because of the different ways that they are now using to verify things that they didn't have a long time ago. And I said to myself, so what? Gary, KY6V, over.
I'm with you. If that meridian wants to move, it's okay with me, too. Thank you, Gordon. GYF, what do you think? What is it, A, B, C, or D, sir?
Well, now you make it hard again. Now, everyone knows it's Greenwich, but then I hear Gordon say Greenwich. So is it Greenwich Village or Greenwich Village in lower Manhattan? And Gordon sounds like he's making something. Sounds like a sandwich, Greenwich. some old corned beef. Now, I also read that article on Greenwich, England, but I heard it in terms of 11 minutes, and so then I got lost. And I don't know how the old 1750 Mariners got around so good. K0GYF, thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Doug. Actually, Greenwich is the Hawaiian pronunciation of Greenwich, and that's why you know, Gordon opted to use his native tongue, and that's the explanation. So, but you're right. It's Greenwich Mean Time. Both you guys are right. Greenwich Mean Time is a time system originally referring to mean solar time at the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, London, and later became adopted as a global time standard. It is arguably the same as Coordinated Universal Time, and when this is viewed as a time zone, the name Greenwich Mean Time is especially used by bodies connected with the United Kingdom, such as the BBC, World Service, and the Royal Navy, and the Met Office, and others. Before the introduction of UTC on the 1st of January 1972, Greenwich Mean Time, also known as our very popular term here in ham radio, Zulu Time, was the same as UT. And that, my friends, does it for me. I'm going to go back to my company. It has been a joy, as always, being with all of you. And till the next net, you guys take care. 7-3, and I'm going to turn it back to Kathy for the postamble.
All right. Thank you so much, Gary, for riding along with me tonight. It was fun. Thank you, Mike, Gordon, and Doug, and of course you, George, for helping make it such an enjoyable evening. Want to remind anyone listening about the AM connection. Mike will be part of that, WA1NXI. Join us if you can, 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, and of course followed by the SSIN. And some of you never come aboard the Rag Twos, so those are both on Saturday and Sunday evening. But I'm going to go ahead and close. I have to make some dinner and probably prepare some schoolwork, but it's been a lot of fun. Let me pause for a moment, and I'm going to close the session. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on our website. That's VOIP.SouthCars.com. Your net controls to this session has been myself, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and Gary, KC2RMO. We want to both say 73 and closes the VOIP session. We also want to thank you for your participation and the fun we had this evening. The net is now closed and to return to regular amateur use. Everyone have a great rest of the week and weekend in case we don't talk. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November along with KC2RMO saying bye-bye for now.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another in our series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.